sabrosura pa ti que.
Hello everyone, this is Pam, de Café con Pam, the bilingual podcast that features Latine and people of the global majority who break barriers, change lives, and make this world a better place. Welcome to episode 337 of Café con Pam. Today, we have a conversation with Barbara Valenzuela. Barbara founded TNK Innovators in a converted garage in South Central LA. As a kid, she watched her mom work with children with special needs throughout several schools in Southern California and developed a love for people with special needs. She started her own journey in the field over 17 years ago, working with adults with special needs in group homes, supported living homes, and adult day programs in Honolulu, Hawaii. She then continued serving the same population in California as a service coordinator and eventually behavior consultant. After several trips to the Central Valley, California, she noticed a need for quality adult services in the area, so she and her family decided to move to the Central Valley to provide a service that was in much need. Barbara then founded TNK Innovators to not only support those with special needs, but also their families and caregivers. They specialize in training and leadership development, and Barbara and her team provides guidance to family members and caregivers with an emphasis on empowerment. Listeners, this conversation with Barbara showed us that the journey that we go through really can come full circle. And I really enjoyed hearing the various things that Barbara did throughout. And of course, I'm sure that we didn't touch everything, but even the things that were shared, we were able to see how later and currently in the present moment, Barbara uses the skills that she then used in her present job. And it's really cool in her business. Maybe if you are in a place where perhaps a door just closed on you, this might be an episode for you to give you some perspective. Sin más, here's my conversation with Barbara Valenzuela. Barbara, welcome to Café con Pam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. This is like the interesting time in San Diego where it's cold in the morning and like midday, which is when we're recording. I'm like, it's hot.
Yeah, it's like that in LA too. Sounds like LA weather.
It's very much. I feel like San Diego is a little bit cooler than LA for some reason, but it's very similar weather. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us, where are you tuning in from?
Visalia, California. I'm in the Central Valley, like 45 minutes before Fresno.
And so for those who don't know, it's literally the middle of California, huh?
Yep, the middle of California. Agriculture.
Yeah, literally farmland. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So we'll get to how you landed there. But before, the question that we typically, this is the second question here, but normally the first one is, what's your heritage?
I'm Mexican from Los Angeles.
Are you first gen?
Yes. My parents came from Mexico, both of them.
Awesome. And you born and raised in LA?
Yes. From an area called Lincoln Heights, right next to Dodger Stadium.
Ooh, how was it?
Lincoln Heights, it's mainly Asian and Latino community because it's right next to Chinatown too. So it's Northeast LA.
What brought your parents to LA?
You know, I don't know, actually. I'm not 100% sure if there's a very specific reason other than need, like most people during that time came over here. I know that one of my uncles helped my grandma and my mom and all my aunts come over here. My dad came originally for work. Back and forth, and at some point,
okay,
he stayed.
Y luego your mom.
Yeah, like on their own, two separate occasions, and they met here. They divorced when I was about 15, 16, around there.
And all your siblings were already born?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of three.
So are you an eldest, youngest daughter? Have you heard of that term?
I have, actually, in one of your podcasts. Yeah, but I'm the only daughter. From the same parents, yeah. Because my dad had other marriages. So I have a lot of siblings, but from the same marriage, it's just three of us.
When did you move to the middle of California, Visalia?
I've actually had two visits to the Central Valley. The first one, I was in high school. My middle brother had an incident that scared my mom. So we all left LA and came to live in Porterville, California. We were there for maybe 3 months. That was one of the first times that I learned real quick that if I hustled, I could make things happen.
Mm. What happened?
Because I didn't want to be there. I mean, no offense to Porterville, but when you're a teenager and you leave a big city, it's a big deal. It's a big culture shock, you know?
For sure.
I love Porterville now. But at the time, I just felt like it was just a completely different world. And I asked my mom, like, what do I need to do to get us back to LA? She said, we need like $1,000. So I just went like knocking door to door to see who would hire me. And I ended up working with this lady who hired me to do random jobs, like cleaning her house.
Wait. You were 15 years old.
Yeah, 15, 16. I was like in, I think I was a 10th grader. That's like 15, around there, maybe.
And you're going to school.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not about the small town living. I want to go back to the city.
Yeah.
Understandable. You know, you're 16, especially at that age, you kind of have like your friends and especially in LA. I went to high school in LA and I went to Venice High School. And so it was just like, let's go ditch school and go to the beach. Like, you know, not yeah. something that you experience in the Central Valley, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, I had grown up with the same people from like elementary, middle school, and high school.
Wow. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. It was a huge deal.
So you're 15, 16, and you're like, okay, mom, I want to move back to LA. What needs to happen? And she was like, we need $1,000.
Yeah.
Because what those $1,000, what were they going to do? Like get you back into like that. That was just like the number that she threw out.
Yeah. I didn't even ask. Like I just knew. Okay.
You're like, all right, let's get on it.
Yeah.
So you literally go to the neighborhood and knock on doors in the houses next to you.
I went to like the businessy area. Like it was so long ago that if I go back there, like I don't even know exactly where it was at, but I just remember there was a bunch of like stores and like different businesses. And this one lady, I wish I remember her name. I don't remember her name, but she agreed to bring me on to do just random jobs. Like I put tags. She had a clothing store. So I put tags on her clothing store. I cleaned the store's restroom. I cleaned the windows. I went to her house, cleaned her house. Like it was a bunch of just odd jobs.
And she would pay you cash.
Yep. I saved it up and I gave it to my mom. So little by little, we all ended up coming back to LA.
How long did it take?
I don't think we were even there for 3 months.
So, young Barbara, you're making this money. You're 15, 16 years old. And all of a sudden, you got cash on hand. Did you keep some and give your mom some? Or were you making the money and giving it to her?
I don't remember keeping anything. Like, there was nothing really that I wanted. I just wanted to go back home, what I considered home.
Focused.
Yeah.
Determined.
Yeah. And in those days, like, you can put stuff on layaway anyways, you know? Yes. Like, that doesn't exist anymore.
Yes. Now we got credit cards.
Yeah. So, no, I don't remember keeping anything. I just remember, like, I was on a mission.
Did mom say, like, was she like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Like, why are you not getting home after school?
She knew where I was going. Yeah. She knew what I was doing. Yeah.
Making money, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
So you give her the $1,000. Finally, you're able to save all of it. And then she's like, all right, we're ready to go.
Well, we came like at separate times. I went back to LA first and was living with a friend. And then eventually my mom came back and then my brother and sister-in-law. And at that time, my dad met his fourth wife. So that's when they got a divorce. So, and that's all right. It worked out for my mom, I think.
Your life transitions at that point.
Yeah.
How do you manage it?
You know, honestly, the divorce wasn't, I think it's hard on most people, but it was a long time coming. I used to tell my mom to divorce him when I was like 9 or 10 years old, because there was a lot of just not great stuff happening in the house. You know, when that happened, I really think it was a blessing in disguise for my mom. You know, she's always been like a very strong, no obstacles, I can make it happen type of person. Just to give you an example, when I was younger, probably like 10, I remember going to school with her because she was taking English classes and high school classes, and my dad didn't let her go to school. So she would say she was going to my grandma's house, or we were going to my grandma's house, but instead we'd go to school.
Wow.
So I remember like seeing her like in class with her ears covered, reading, doing her work while the ladies were chismeando on the side. And even for her graduation, we were at my grandma's house.
Wow. How old were you?
Probably like 10 or 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she did this because she knew having a high school diploma speaking English would give her more opportunity?
Yeah.
Did she ever talk to you about that?
Not like back then, but she's always said things like, when you go to college, when you, like, it wasn't like, she never said, do you want to go? She would say, like, when you go to college, you're going to learn all this stuff. Like, she would talk like that. So it was always in my head, like, okay, I guess I'm going to college.
So she planted the seed.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. I think it was purposeful too, you know?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. But she's a really strong, amazing human.
She's still around?
Yeah. She takes care of my grandma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this happens. You go back to LA. Then the divorce happens. Do you move?
Yeah. We bounced around a little bit when we came back. But eventually she bought a house in South Central LA. And she still has that house since 97.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she got a deal back then.
Right, right. I don't know if it was considered a deal then, but now it would be considered a deal.
Yeah.
You are able to witness your mom graduate high school. The work that she got after she graduated was in the school district.
So my mom has worked with, well, used to work with, she's retired now, with LA Unified School District for over 30 years. And most of the time she worked with special needs kids. That was when I was like 10, 11, when she got her high school diploma. And then her first job with LAUSD was working after school, like after school programs. So it was cool because I got to hang out with my mom, play cards. Like, she taught me how to play speed and it was fun. But as she stayed at LAUSD, she started getting different jobs, and working with special needs kids was like for the most of her career at LAUSD. And I would go to school with her sometimes and see these awesome kids. And it just, I don't know, it just became like, I guess, normal for me, you know, to be around people with special needs, and they're just awesome.
And so her whole career, you kind of like witnessed this.
Yeah. And she'd like talk to me about her kids and like things that they would share with her and like things that they would draw for her, like all these things, you know. And then when I would go, I would see them too. And I remember like seeing this one specific kid banging his head on the floor, and he was wearing a helmet. And, you know, for a kid, when you see that, you're like, you know, most kids would be taken back. But my mom was like so chill about it. Like the way she was talking to him in like a very loving way, like not startled. Like, it was beautiful to see at such a young age.
Did you decide to go to college after she planted the seed?
Yeah, I went to Cal State LA. I actually went to school for TV and broadcasting. But during that time, honestly, I met my husband. And I was more interested in being with him and going places and stuff than I was like interning, you know, because when you're in the film industry, you have long days, like 12-hour days. And I just did a few things here and there, like volunteering as an intern and stuff like that. I never did anything like really big. But even then, it's like 12 hours. Like, what time am I going to see Gabriel again? You know,
she was in love.
Yeah. So during the, you know, that time, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I eventually went to, we moved to Hawaii just because I just wanted to experience life outside of California. We were there for almost 3 years, and I went to get a master's degree in counseling psychology. And while I was there, a friend asked if I was looking for a job. And it so happened to be at the ARC in Hawaii, where there's special needs adults.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how I started like officially working in the field.
Kind of like full circle in a way.
Yeah.
Why did you do your undergrad in film and communications?
I think because I have a pretty active imagination, and I thought I could like, I don't know, get in the film industry.
You're in
like,
LA.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be famous. No, I didn't want to be famous. I really enjoyed like the story writing, the putting pieces together, the creating. I like the creating part of it. So I did a lot of like music videos and like, you know, had my husband and my friends and cousins as actors, and I would edit and put everything together. So it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
So you wanted to be more of a director, behind the scenes type person?
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever want to be in front of the camera and like being the star?
No, not really.
How would you say your undergrad has influenced your current work, if any?
I think it's influenced me as a business owner. because, you know, like as a director of your own projects, it's your vision. And then you have to have like certain pieces so that the implementation of it, the way everyone is acting and what they're doing, it has to align with your vision. So I think it's very similar to business, because as a business owner, you have your mission and vision and your values. And as you hire people, like that's something that I look for, is are they aligned with our values? It's very similar in that way, because you still have to have like certain things in place that your team needs to follow so that you're aligned with heading towards the same goal, you know?
Yes. So you move to Hawaii, you get this job working with special needs adults. What's the role?
I don't remember my title, but I was like a supervisor for, I had a couple of group homes, adult day programs that I would come in and train them on how to work with the individuals. I would collect data to see how they're doing with certain behaviors or skills that they're working on. It was a great experience.
Did you ever see like the reflection of your mom and the work that she did when you were little and you were watching her?
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty patient person, and I don't get like excitable that like, you know, freak out that, mm-hmm. at least not outside. You know, I could keep my cool during yeah. crisis situations, and I think that's important in our field. She's definitely influenced me, because it just became, it was just normal. Like sometimes when I describe like what we do, some people are like, that sounds scary, or how do you do that? You know, but it's really not for me anyways.
For sure. And so you're in Hawaii, you get into the field, into the industry. Before this opportunity came, were you looking to work in film and television or no?
No. No, by that time, I actually wanted to be a school counselor.
Oh.
That's actually what I got my master's degree in. And it was mainly because they got the summers off. I didn't want to be a teacher. But I thought, well, as a school counselor, like I can do these fun things with the kids. I don't have summers off. I was like, yeah, sounds good. That was really the main reason.
The motivator for it.
Yeah.
And you're in Hawaii, you get this role, and then what happens?
Well, we stay there for 2.5 years, and the flights coming back and forth were honestly adding up, and I really missed my mom. So I couldn't imagine like not seeing my family for like a long period of time, because I would see my niece and nephews, and my sister-in-law, my brothers, my mom. I would see them a lot, so I didn't feel like I actually like left, you know, because either I'd go there or they'd come here. I just thought it was time to come back to LA, and so we did.
Did you ever get, you know, they say, is it a PC term? I'm not sure. Island fever, you know, when you're, what island were you on?
I was on Oahu. Yeah, they call it rock fever.
Rock fever.
Yeah. And it's funny because when we first moved there, I would interview for all these jobs and they would say they wouldn't hire me because I'm going to get rock fever and end up leaving. Because I guess a lot of people do that.
Yep.
And then to get an apartment was hard too, because I didn't have a job. So.
What did your husband do?
He worked at Home Depot.
Okay. So he had a job.
He had a job, yeah. But it wasn't like enough to justify the rent, I guess.
Hawaii is expensive.
Yeah, it is. But it's not if you come from LA.
Okay, let's take a quick coffee break and then we'll come back. Barbara, do you drink coffee?
I do. I love coffee.
Tell me more. How do you drink it?
Black.
How do you brew it?
I have an espresso machine and a Keurig machine. And I recently got introduced to the Mariposa brand of Café de la Olla. It is really good.
Yeah?
It is really good. It's like the perfect amount of sweetness, because usually it's too sweet.
Okay. Mariposa brand?
Mm-hmm.
So you literally just brew that in one of your machines and drink it as you go. How many cups of coffee are you?
One, maybe two. I used to be like 3 or 4, but it was a little too much. Like I could feel my heart racing. So one is good. Two, if I feel like, I don't know, it's more of a, it's like a ritual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I just want to just sit down and just clear my head, like it's nice to have a nice hot cup of coffee.
It's very grounding.
Yeah. And Starbucks has their seasonal apple crisp oat milk shake and espresso, which I was addicted to.
Interesting. on my end, I'm drinking diluted greens because this is like the third refill, and I just poured some sparkling water in it. I am that person that just keeps refilling my water cup multiple times a day, and you know, it's fine. I mean, I just either put like sparkling water or like water, or it could be gross. I don't know. Listeners, let me know. But I'm a 2 cup of coffee. So, you know, we could argue that it's like 1.5 or maybe 4, depending on the ounceage that people may consider as a cup of coffee. But for my big mugs of coffee, I do 1.5 or 2 per day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, not super bad. And I've been working a lot on my energy because I don't want to depend on coffee to give me energy. And so the way that I've been doing a lot, I mean, I've had like a food journey for a long time because I have ADHD. I forget to eat. And so, and on one end and on another end, because I don't know if it's because of my neurodiversity or because I'm just sensitive, I have all these like food intolerances, which I think a lot of the population does. We just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And certain things I love so much, but they're not great for me. And so I've been a lot more diligent to either skip them or, you know, eat the alternative, because it also has been now, as I get older, I've noticed more impact in my hormones.
Mm.
And so it's a whole thing. And because of my brain, I'm all into biohacking and all these things. But let's get back to the show. This is about you. Hola, Vanis. By the way, if you are enjoying this conversation and you want to keep talking about it, if you have some comments and maybe some questions that you have, follow me on social media and let's keep that conversation going. This is your reminder to screenshot and tag me at Café con Pan Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And let's keep talking about it. Tell me what's resonating. Tell me what isn't. Tell me what do you wish I asked the guest. This is your chance. And if you're on TikTok, I'm at Café con Pan Pod as well. Let's stay connected. So you returned to California. How did you end up in Visalia? What drives that decision? And when did you start your business?
I started my business in 2016, but during that time, I was like a subcontractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honestly pretty exhausted. When we came back from Hawaii, we went back to my mom's house and then we moved out for a little bit. And then my mom said, "You're paying too much rent. I'm going to fix some the little spot for you. You either take it or leave it, but it's going to be there." And I was like, okay. So I took her up on that and we were there for about 7 years. And then we finally moved out to Westchester to a pretty cool apartment overlooking LAX. I have 2 kids, a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they were really into planes back then. Like, they knew all the plane names, where they were from, and everything. So I was like, oh, it'd be so cool. So we got this apartment in Westchester, but I would be gone for like 12, 16 hours sometimes. And I realized, like, I don't think I could keep this up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I need help. On a side note, like, I was coming up to Visalia because I wanted to open up a group home.
¿Y por qué Visalia?
They had what's called a request for proposal here in Central Valley Regional Center. And what that means is if you're interested in opening this type of home, these are the requirements, and we'll accept your, you know, like your proposal. So anybody could apply for it.
An RFP.
Yeah, it was an RFP and I was very interested in it. So I really wanted it and I would come out here. I came out here just to check out the area and then came out again to turn in the program design because I didn't want it to get lost in the mail. I came again to get interviewed. Like, I would just keep coming. And every time I'd come, I'd be like, wow, I really like Visalia. Like, it's a cute town. There's no traffic. It has a cool downtown. It has Target and Starbucks. Like, what else do I need? So we didn't get approved for the RFP, for the program design, but I don't know. It's funny how things just work out, right? Because even though I didn't get it, like, I was able to fill a need that was in this area. Like, I got to know people and I would ask questions, and I just saw that there's not a lot of options out here for adults mm-hmm. with special needs. And I wanted to be that option. So I asked my husband, hey, you want to live in Visalia? He's like, what? But he's down for my ideas. He's always been down. So I really appreciate that.
So for context, for those people who are not familiar in California, Los Angeles, California, as of 2020, the population is 3,800,098 something, something, something. So 3,898,747 people. So you went from almost 4 million to Visalia, California, has 141,000 people.
Yep.
Which means basically you went from one of the biggest cities in the world to a neighborhood.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly it. And what's to like give a bigger picture, LA County has like probably like 14 million.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah. It's not like when you live in LA, you work in LA. Most people that live in LA work somewhere else.
Yes.
In the county, but somewhere else. Yeah, it was a pretty huge difference. And so it's kind of funny when people here say there's traffic. I'm like, oh, you're funny. Like, there's no way.
So you tell the husband, let's move to Visalia because you got to know the town. You got to build relationships with the people. You noticed a need. And you had the experience. So he gets on board. How do you have this conversation with the kids too? Given that you had experienced also a move or a couple of them.
Yeah, they were little. My older son was in kinder. And then my little one hadn't even entered preschool. I try to make things like an adventure, you know, because it really is. Everything that you do, if you look at it, it's all an adventure. It's all an experience. Like, you know, this is the next chapter. This is the Visalia chapter. How is that going to be? Who are we going to meet? What are we going to do? What are we going to experience? So for them, I think it was a pretty easy transition. I think for my husband, it was harder because his family is in LA. And at the beginning, we weren't going back and forth that often. So I think it was a little bit harder for him to adjust. But now, like, we've been here for, 6.5 years. And every time we go to LA, now we're like, oh, it feels heavy with the traffic. Yeah. And everywhere you go, it takes forever. Like, my office is in downtown Visalia and it takes me like 10 minutes. So it's a huge difference.
Totally. How does your business start? How do you decide, all right, we're going to make this happen? There's obviously a need. Did you meet the person or the business who actually got the RFP? And did you collaborate with them?
No. I didn't meet them. I think I know who it is, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm 99.9% sure I know who they are, and it is well deserved. Like 1,000,000%, they gave it to the right people. But it's one of those things where I thought I was applying for this RFP to get this group home, but really I was applying to this RFP to expose me to Visalia so that I can move here, you know? So like when you look back and you connect the dots, like you see like, oh, that's why that happened. It's beautiful to know that you don't know everything, because if I would have known at the very beginning, hey, Barbara, you're not going to get this, it would have been like, okay, then why am I even
I'm not going to do it. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It works out. It always does.
So how did you decide? You moved. And then what's the next step to start the business?
I had registered my business in 2016. And we moved out here in 2017. So I had like a subcontract for like 8 hours a month. Not even that. It was a tiny amount of hours, really. So I pretty much started at zero over here. And I just used my cold calling skills that I had. I used to sell life insurance many moons ago and walk up to like random people and talk to them.
When you did that when you were 16.
I know, right? All these experiences help.
Yes.
I was one of those people that would call you at your house and say, hey, would you like to refinance your house? Well, I wouldn't say it like that, but I was those people too. So making cold calls and talking to random people for the purpose of providing a service wasn't weird to me. So when I moved out here, I looked up all the group homes in the area and I would just call them one at a time to see who was looking for a consultant. I got busy. And then I started hiring people. So we're one person and then two people and then three. Honestly, the hardest or scariest, I guess, part about having a business is the hiring part, because you don't know who you're going to get, you know.
Yes.
But I've been lucky.
Who was your first employee?
It was a husband of a friend. And then after that, it was a person that I was supervising, like, on the side, and she said she wanted to work with me, and she's been, like, amazing. Like, she's
still with you.
She's still with me. Yeah. She provides trainings for us every week when we have team meetings, and she provides a great service to the community because we do behavior and crisis consulting. So we do consulting for group homes and adult day programs, but we also have crisis services. So these are for families or caregivers who work with an adult that goes into crisis. And she's the one that does a lot of the training.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we got another person to join our team. She's still with us too. It was scary for me to hire people, but it's not, it doesn't feel the way it used to. Like, the more you do it, the more you get used to it. You know, I joined Rachel's mastermind in 2021 or 22. I don't know, but I've done two rounds of her mastermind, and she just makes things sound so simple. You know, they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I've been, you know, since then we've had people come and go in our team, but it's always like, it's like a symphony. Like, the right people stay, and the people who are no longer meant to be there, they go, and it's all right. Everybody goes off on their own journey. And I'm just grateful for the team that I have now. They're really solid. They're amazing humans. And I'm lucky that they choose to work, you know, at TNK Innovators every day.
Tell us more about your business, because with the evolution of your career from where you started to what you do now, what does the business do now? What are the, you've briefly mentioned about some of the services, but who's, like, your actual client? And we'll start there.
We contract with Central Valley Regional Center. So if a family or a caregiver that has a group home or a caregiver that has an adult day program, if they need services for an adult with special needs, they'll contact us directly to be contracted through them, or they'll contact the Central Valley Regional Center and let them know, like, hey, I need services for my son or daughter or relative. And the reason they call us is because the individual is engaging in things that are not enhancing their quality of life. So it could be something like they're hitting themselves, they're hitting others, they don't know how to communicate, so they'll, like, scream and yell or hurt someone. It's like a bunch of different reasons. They can contact the Central Valley Regional Center and contract us for services, or the group homes and the adult day programs contract with us directly. And we have, like, a small amount of people that we serve who are able to call our crisis line after hours. So we work, like, 8 to 5. And then if there's a crisis that comes in after 5, then they would call us too. And we're available to walk them through the process on what to do and how to keep themselves and the individual safe.
That's awesome. Do you specialize in adults?
We specialize in adults with special needs. We see that there's a lot of providers that provide services to kids already. It's the adults that are often not getting as much services as the kids do. So yeah, we serve some kids, but mainly our focus are adults with special needs and their caregivers, because we want their caregivers to find other ways of doing things that will bring joy to themselves and joy to the individual.
So important, especially because caregivers are, like, such giving people, and often they don't put themselves first because it's not, like, a priority necessarily, you know, because they're always taking care of others. And so it's great to have access to a service like yours where they can reach out and get support.
And caregivers are also, like, that's been their life, especially if they've taken care of, like, their son or daughter or relative their entire life. And now they're older and their kid is older, you know, and that's just been their life for so long that it's hard to picture something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to picture a different kind of life. And I think that they, as much as they want to, like, have more freedom or to find another way of addressing some of these issues, it's kind of hard to see if that's all you've seen on your life. Just like anybody, you don't know what you don't know. And if someone doesn't bring it, like, to your, like, spotlight it, like, there is this other way, or you can try doing this. It's kind of hard to see. So yeah, the caregivers are amazing. Like even my mom's a caregiver. She takes care of my grandma that has Alzheimer's, and it's exhausting and challenging, but caregivers are angels. They really are.
Indeed. 100%. So are you local? Like, do you only offer services local?
We started in LA. So we have clients that we serve in LA. Those are all group homes. And then we're vendored through Central Valley Regional Center, which means that we can provide services that are funded through them here in the Central Valley. And then we have group homes ranging from, or clients ranging from Bakersfield to Madera, which is a pretty big range.
And so do people, if somebody, like maybe caregivers are listening and they're like, I didn't know this existed, because you're very like local, are there various businesses like yours, or do you want people to reach out to you and then you direct them? What would be like the next step for people that are wondering like, oh, this is awesome, there's something for me, what do I do next?
So if they're in the Central Valley and they're receiving services through Central Valley Regional Center, so in California, if you have a special need and you fit like their categories, you're assigned a service coordinator who helps coordinate services for you. And there's 21 regional centers throughout California. So depending on which one is in your area, you can get services from them. But here in the Central Valley, since we're vendored through Central Valley Regional Center, you can contact your service coordinator. They'll connect us with services, or you can contact us directly and we can guide you through that process. And then if we're not vendored through your regional center, we can also reach out to that regional center and see if they're willing to courtesy vendor us, and we can do it that way too. But they can always call us.
Tell us all the places and spaces where we can find you.
I am on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and our website too, tkinnovators.com.
Why TK?
My kids' initials.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my kids' initials. They are my why.
That's awesome. tkinnovators.com. Last few questions, Barbara. Do you have a remedio that you want to share with us?
I do. Of course, the ongoing Vaporu thing is not what I'm going to say, because I'm sure everybody says that. But when my kids get sick, I tell them, here, take your medicine. And they'll come to me and I'll give them like a piece of M&M or a piece of Skittles or something. And I really just do it because, like, I think it's important to get your mind right, especially when you're sick, because that's like the first part of healing. Mm-hmm. And I just do it to make them giggle and laugh and, you know, whatever you can do to make yourself feel better during that moment. But that's what I do. That's our little tradition.
Yay. And do you have a quote or mantra that you live by?
Yes. It's stand guard at the doors of your mind. That's Jim Rohn. I have a lot of quotes, but that's the one that I'm very aware of, because what you put in your head has a big impact on who you are and who you become. It's like if you think of yourself when you were younger, for most people, you're a completely different person because of the things that you heard, the things that you saw, what you lived. So I'm very aware of like what you put in your head, what you see, like you have to be aware of it. So stand guard at the doors of your mind.
I love that. And do you have a productivity tip, trick, or tool that you want to share with us?
Yes. So whatever it is that's clouding your mind, write it down. You got to take it out of your brain and put it down on paper or on something so that it can be, so it could exit your brain and have more brain space. And then every day, you got to ask yourself, like, did I do everything that I could today? And if the answer is yes, regardless of what's left on your list, just let it go. My mom has been saying, fuck it, like most of my life. And it's true. Like sometimes you just got to say, well, fuck it. I couldn't do it. And that's it. Did I do the best I could? Yeah. So then you just move on and you got to be kind to yourself. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for that. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for coming to Café con Pam. This was great. I hope you had fun.
Yes, it's fun.
Well, thank you so much.
Listeners, stay shining.
You wanna listeners, that was my convo with Barbara. I hope you enjoyed it and you're inspired, and perhaps you have some perspective in seeing how you could take what happens and then choose to give a new perspective, because we never know. Sometimes things happen that they're out of our control and we tend to question them, or sometimes even create beliefs around not deserving, or, you know, it wasn't for me. And perhaps Barbara's story gives us this alternative way of seeing things, of saying, you know what, this didn't happen, but this happened. And because of it, this opportunity, additional opportunity came through with it. And so a good reminder that we can shift our perspective from time to time. You want to, listeners, if this is your first time here, welcome to Café con Pam. I hope this was inspiring for you and you choose to stay. Click the subscribe and follow button on all the places and spaces where you hang out and listen to podcasts. If you're curious about other podcasters, you can check out the Latina Podcasters Network app and find other awesome podcasts that are part of this network. Here comes the time when I ask you for your ratings and your reviews. They do mean a ton. It's a great way to support the show. This is something that it's free for you, and your reviews actually do help people determine whether or not they may click play or not. And so thank you for taking the time, and I so appreciate every single one of your stars and your reviews. They mean a lot, and I thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's stay connected on the socials at Café con Pam Podcast, all over, anywhere you look for Café con Pam, you can't miss it. You can also screenshot and tag us. Let me know what your thoughts are on the episode, if you have a question, or if you just want to share with the world that you resonated with this episode. Thank you so much. Head over to cafeconpam.com. Check out all the things that we're doing. We are expanding the coverage that we are doing on our stories, and it's really exciting. I'm happy to report that we've done a pretty extensive work. I think 2023 for us was more of a foundational year for solidifying our processes, and maybe I might do an episode about it. This might actually be the December episode. You need a process. Producer Nancy, make note. Because I think that might be a good episode to cover, to share, because a beautiful quote that I read in passing, and the quote stuck with me, but not the author, and I apologize, is, and I'm paraphrasing it because it's also not super clear, but the quote said something along the lines of, behind a consistent process, there's a system. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, that's really powerful, because one thing that I will say is very consistent is the system that we have with Café con Pam. We don't have quite the system yet for the weekly emails. We don't have quite the system for other things that I do that I'm not consistent of, like posting on social media. But you can find me every week podcasting. Perhaps that's the episode that we'll do in a few weeks in December. Let me know if you're interested. That's something that you can screenshot and tag and let me know, or drop a comment or whatever, depending on where you're looking at this or hearing this. Because we've also expanded places where we are hanging out. Listeners, thank you so much for being here. Y como siempre, stay shining.